Mr. Speaker, I stand before you today to offer an apology to former students of Indian residential schools. The treatment of children in Indian residential schools is a sad chapter in our history.
Welcome to Gyaktum, which means listening to the truth in my language, Ojibwe. My name is Damien Bouchard, and I'm from Maryland First Nation in Northern Ontario. And I'm your host for this podcast that explores the concept of reconciliation. It's a loaded word for sure, and most of us in Canada are still struggling to figure out what it means, if it is possible, and if so, how. For Indigenous people, the legacy of colonialism and residential school is still reverberating through all of our relationships. Through the interviews and stories you'll hear over the next episodes, we will be exploring different aspects of reconciliation, from the individual all the way up to the nation. We hope that you'll join us on this journey. We are all in this together. Miigwech for listening. Rene Meshaki is a storyteller from Guelph.
Let me introduce an old story, a legend, if you will. One time Nana Bojo got hungry. Everyone does. So he went out hunting. He tricked and killed a deer. He butchered a hindquarter and, once satisfied, he sat down for a meal. A pack of wolves came and took all the meat along with the hindquarter that Nana Bojo was saving for his Okmwisen grandmother. He quickly transformed himself into a tiny snake to reclaim what he could. He scraped bits and pieces of meat from the bones. Not finished, the wolves eventually drove the tiny snake into the forest. I believe that this story foretold the coming of the pack of wolves on our homelands and taking everything. When the settlers arrived, my people, the Anishinaabe, transformed themselves into the size of tiny snakes to eat from the leftovers, that is the Indian reserve system. In fact, the reserve is called Ishkunagunin, place of leftovers, scraps, or garbage in our language. This act paved the way to the ravages of Indian residential schools on us. But there is hope in this story. As we were driven into the forest, we found something called truth and reconciliation. No one saw colonialism coming to our homelands. No one saw that truth and reconciliation was necessary until now.
Rene Meshaki is a storyteller from Guelph. I asked him about his views on reconciliation and what he thinks we're trying to reconcile.
I think it begins with individual. That's where it starts, eh? And it's my story that, you know, they told me about a circle. The center of that circle is you. And getting your self-esteem as an Anishinaabe you know, I had to reconcile with being an Anishinaabe once again. It's like rebirth. They used to call me Renaissance Man, okay? Then the other then there's a wider circle, and that's your family, my wife, my son. You gotta have that family. Then outside of that is the, I think the society, our cousins and aunts and uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers. The wider becomes bigger, and then it becomes the nation of Anishinaabe, being Anishinaabe. And then after that, the nation, then it becomes the world. I think, personally, I'm at the Anishinaabe, the nation circle. Then the world, I'm trying. This is my first time collaborating with the world, that whole globe. I'm going international. International. All these circles are reconciling themselves to become one. I wish to reach that stage someday in my life. That's reconciliation to me.
In this first episode, we are exploring the very center of the circle Renee is speaking about, reconciliation within the self. How can we take parts of ourselves that our history has broken apart and put them back together in ways that makes us stronger? Renee's life wasn't easy for him. In fact, he was demoralized. Life was almost worthless to him.
I left Errol and Long Lac in 1983 because I felt like dying. You know, there was nothing left in my life. I was drinking all the time and, you know, going from back and forth, Errol and Long Lac, Nakina, Geraldton, you know, Thunder Bay, and all around again. It's like going around and around and around in circles. And never find really, life meant nothing to me. But it became just parties all the time. You know, I was looking for parties, parties here, party there, party animal, you know. And eventually one day I ended up in a hospital in Geraldton, you know, sick. Then I got on a train to go to Winnipeg. I was heading out to BC, away from it all, maybe to start a new life, but I had never had any money. Ended up in Winnipeg. Then I heard my dad died. Then I went back to Ireland and I buried my father and I said to him, you know, this is the end. I'm never coming back. This is the last time I'll ever be here.
Leaving home for good is a big deal for my people. Our connection to the land, to our families, is at the very core of what it means to be Anishinaabe. So it must have taken something really big for Renee to feel like he had to leave.
Being a residential, a survivor of Indian residential school, I was so ashamed of being Anishinaabe. I was even ashamed to be speaking Anishinaabe. Well, that's how corrupted I got when I went back to Ireland and meeting my cousins like Nora and all those guys, you know, Nibashkam, and, you know. And I never felt I was one of them anymore. Like really belong like I used to, hey, you know. I couldn't see that. The only time I really felt belonging is that party I was talking about, you know, to get drunk and dance and party. And that's the life there, but somehow you can't make it. I wasn't real. It's like watching a movie. I was watching a movie all the time ever since I was 17, right into the 40s. And it's the ugly feeling I've ever had. I always detached myself. I was always watching Renee move around. And I'm way up here somewhere, way at the outside of me. It was only right now I'm becoming together, really fully integrated, you know, as a human being. I'm inside my body now, I'm comfortable in my skin.
I can totally relate to Renee. I left too. Here's some of my story.
When I left for Vancouver, when I left Thunder Bay, I remember telling myself, I was like, I think I'm done here. I think I'm really, really like done with Northern Ontario. I was getting into, you know, a lot of trouble, I guess, during the, you know, my 1920 era, you know, just, you know, abusing alcohol and getting into fights. And I got beat up pretty bad, like hospitalized for a little bit. And I remember as soon as I recovered and I got out of the hospital, I went home to Arrowland, and my grandfather died, like, literally that same day. And then I remember, like, just, I was like, I'm done with this place. I'm gonna go, you know, live my life. And I remember being away for like four or five years. And I just remember like how much I missed my family and how much I missed my cousins, John Ross and Derek, and not having a connection to all of them, because we all grew up together, and, you know, and not having my aunties and uncles there to talk to. So after that, I knew I was gonna, I wanted to come home and be a part of my brother's life. I have a little brother named Vincent. He's about 12 years old now. And like, I missed out like at least 5 years of the past 5 years, you know, wanting to teach him like how to play basketball and, you know, how to like back skate and all that stuff like I grew up loving to do. And yeah, I guess my connection to my family was what really, really drove me back here. Yeah, and now I'm starting my own family.
Since I got comfortable with my skin, you know, I got comfortable being an Anishinaabe man, you know, to provide and protect for my family, have a home of my own, have a son who loves me. He says he loves me. And the greatest thing I ever heard coming from my son was saying, "You're a great dad. Great dad." Oh, wow, I really felt, oh man. And to hear that from a son, with that respect he has for me, I could never achieve that as a drunk, as being ashamed of my culture and arts.
The good news is that reconciliation within the self is totally possible. Many of us are finding our own unique paths to healing and reintegration. Speaking with Renee, it really hit me that both of us have found healing through self-expression.
I started off as a visual artist, now I'm doing media, and expressing myself, expressing that self-respect I have for myself, the self-esteem I have, and show it to the world. Hey, Rene is here, he's not hiding behind this thick wall I used to have that was killing me. See, I'm able to do this interview with you because of that. I wouldn't be here if I was out there still being ashamed of who I was, you know. That's a big thing for us in Anishinaabe, you know, to be proud of who I am. Another thing that's getting into my story of my life is seeing young people like you, you know, going to universities and colleges, and especially in the media arts, eh? I think I'm thinking more of somebody else now in my life, like you. Mm-hmm. that encourages me. I'm getting, that's my community. That when the elders told me, go build yourself a new support system, you're part of that system.
I don't know if we could really put the, I guess, the blame on residential school in this generation right now, because it's hard. It's a hard thing to talk about, really. Like, I don't know the right answer to that. Like, I don't want to say, like, oh, you know what, like, got to get away from putting the blame on residential school. I know a lot, like, me and we talk about it sometimes, you know, me and my partner, like, it's, we got to take responsibility, I guess, right? It's something that happened traumatically in our people's history, and it's definitely affected the way, I guess, we brought, how we started treating our communities once they got back from those schools. But when does it stop? But, you know, but when does it, like, where does it stop? Where do we, where does that, where's the turn for the better? And, like, where do we say, like, well, you know what, like for me, I didn't go to residential school, but, you know, maybe I did get, maybe I am getting affected by it, you know, for sure. But I don't want to use that as an excuse, you know? I kind of want to, like, transcend that. Try to write a different story from here on out, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. As you just heard, I really struggle with how to reconcile the past with the possibility for a different future. I don't want to upset all the people who went to residential school, but we have to find ways to heal and write that new story. When we talk about becoming whole again, we have to talk about our connection to the land. Here's my cousin, Mark Bell, talking about his journey.
My name is Mark Bell. I'm 41 years old. Born in Thunder Bay, Ontario, a band member of Airline First Nation. I am an elected official, band counselor. I'm also the economic development officer. I've did my graduate studies, but I didn't complete them in Northern Europe. I did my undergrad at Lakehead University. I have a business management diploma out of Confederation College. I have a beautiful wife and child, and we live in our community. You know, even to this day, that's where I get a lot of my physical activity, is checking traps and, you know, going out moose hunting. And, you know, you catch a moose, you gotta be able to do everything that comes with it. You know, shooting a moose is the easy part. You know, you gotta be able to do everything else, gut it, drag it out, lift it on your truck, and all these things. It's so you know, you be able to come out and really get healthy, you know. And when I had my drug issue, when I was healing from my addiction, when I came off of the methadone that I was on, the land is what healed me, going out and doing work on the land, cutting the trails and being out and checking those traps and things like that. That's what actually healed me, was I was able to get stronger and I was able to overcome a lot of the challenges that were before me, was because of the land. And even when I was young, you know, if I wasn't out in the land, I would have probably been in jail.
I went to the land after, you know, all that, you know, like, after I did move to Vancouver, I had a real strong connection to get out there and to hike and to learn more about nature and myself as an Indigenous person, where what that really meant to me, because, like, yeah, it was very interesting. It led me to a lot of different places, a lot of interesting places. Ended up going to doing my vision quest in this little place called Saguin First Nation in Manitoba, and I went to go fast for like 4 days and 4 nights, and wanted to know it, like, why did those ancestors do that and everything. And yeah, it was definitely like a really like profound healing experience to connect with the land that way. Yeah, and I didn't want to come back. I did not want to come back to go back to the big city. I wanted to stay out there. I'm so freaking happy, you know? I was like in like a totally like really blissful time those 4 days. It was, yeah, the land is very like interesting when you like immerse yourself in it in that sense. And then later on, I started even like going out trapping with Mark, you know? The first time I went trapping with him was like a couple years ago, and we were out on the land, and like, I was just like, I remember sitting there and like the sun coming through the trees when we're on the skidoo and everything, and like the snow covered trees, and I was like, man, this is so cool. I'm hanging with my cousin, and we're, you know, setting traps all day, and we're laughing on the line and like drinking tea in a cold little shack, and just like totally having a good experience with one another. And yeah, it was, yeah. And he talked about like how he can hear Grandpa when we're out there doing that, and like, and I it's like I started to hear him in my head more and more the more I was out there with Mark, you know. It was really, really I don't know, it's different. It's really, really different. Something I can't really fully like explain in words. Like, something weird happens out there.
I think the trapping thing was fun because he said, oh, I want to learn how to do this and I want to learn how to do that. And we took him out, and he, I think he kind of got almost a rude awakening in the amount of work, because we had this big snow and ice storm. We had to cut the trails open again. And for me, it was the third time I cut these trails. And I'm trying to explain to him, like, and he's filming, and I'm trying to tell him, never mind filming, grab an axe and cut this line. Like, we're going to be out here all day if you're doing that. And it was just a little, we're just having fun out there. I hope that he was able to learn a little bit about what I like to do and to be out in the land and doing these things and what how I feel about it, and because I'm very passionate about it. I'm trying to juggle my job, my household. I got a new daughter, and I'm trying to be out in the land too. And so now, like, all my fur money that I trap goes into my daughter's school fund. Kind of out of my comfort area and talking about some of this stuff, but you know, it's for myself and the issues I've had with drugs, alcohol, and my past, and it's kind of allowed me to kind of look at it and face it head on, and it's something that, you know, that I think a lot of people need to start doing in order to reconciling themselves, because you talk all the stuff about reconciliation and how the government needs to reconcile this and that, the land and stuff, but I think a lot of people need to do some self-reconciliation, and it's something that I had to do before I was able to move forward in like being able to get off the drugs and things like that, that I really had to look at myself and say, okay, I have these issues, I need to fix them and be able to move forward. And it was the hardest thing I had to do, you know, and I think that when we talk about reconciliation, you know, a lot is put on government and this and that, but I think people need to put it on themselves as well, because you're only gonna be able to go as far as you can take yourself. And that's something that you can't keep blaming other people, because sometimes it's your own fault. Like, a lot of the stuff that I did was my own fault, and I had to figure it out, you know. And sometimes you don't want to admit, you know, to be able to say, you know what, I'm the one who put that straw to my nose and snorted that first line. I'm the one who did this. I'm the one who did that. And you can't blame other people. It's because ultimately it's your decision. And I think that's something when we talk about reconciliation that people need to realize.
This brings us to the end of episode 1 of Gyaktum. The take-home point I hope you heard is that reconciliation within the self is totally possible, and many of us are on that journey. I hope you join us for our next episode, which will explore reconciliation at the community level.
I'm going to leave you with music producer and band counselor of North Spirit Lake First Nation. His beats and music, I feel, speak to a lot of where we come from and the tools we use on this path of reconciliation. Miigwech for listening.
This podcast was made possible by funding provided by the Canada Council for the Arts. Many thanks to Renee Mishaki, Kira Michelle, Jeremy Shute, Laura Taylor, Trinica Gassmeyer, and the people of Arrowland First Nation for their contributions. Thank you to Vish Khanna for mastering the audio, and to CFRU for providing studio recording space. And this is your host, Damien Bouchard, signing off. Miigwech.